She's back.
He's back.
How was your holiday?
It was good. So I was in Croatia. You were in?
Austria. I was in Austria.
Ooh, look at us.
Lovely. It was so nice.
Mm. I stepped on a sea urchin.
Okay. What? Okay. we're going to need that story later, I think, in the podcast. I didn't step on any sea urchins, actually, but I did do something genuinely terrifying. And this isn't even a joke. It was honestly absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, but you get scared about going to Specsavers, Martin.
Seriously, I do. That is true. But honestly, seriously,
this is
the scariest thing that's ever happened, I think, to me ever. I'm still a bit shaken up by it. So we'll tell you more about that, sharing our disaster stories on holiday. And we'll talk about Eurovision on this edition of
Nulpois is shameful.
Nulpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nulpois is no fun.
Yes. Welcome to Nulpois, the Eurovision fan podcast. That is Martin. I am Laura. We are a UK-based Eurovision fan podcast, and there's really only been one story that's been making the news in the UK recently, hasn't there? We've sort of been away for it. And you might have realised when we last recorded our episode last week that it happened before this event. And that is, of course, Queen Elizabeth II passing away. We recorded it before that. So there was no mention of it, even though I think for some of you, it would have gone out after that happened. And we were wondering whether maybe when we were away, they might release the details of the host city and things like that. Obviously, after that happened, we knew that wasn't going to be the case because, you know, National Days of Mourning, it was unlikely the BBC would suddenly go, hey, and by the way, it's going to be hosted in this city. It just wasn't going to happen. So it's been a bit of an odd time being someone from the UK, hasn't it, Martin?
Yeah, it has really. And I think it's been a bit of a weird atmosphere for everybody concerned. I think there was an element of shock. And then there's this whole period of national mourning. And I think nobody really knows how to act and how to behave, and everybody's kind of going through it in their own way. Some people don't really seem to be that bothered at all, just kind of want to get on with normal life. Other people, you know, are really being affected by it and are really kind of feeling it. So look, however you're feeling, we just wanted to sort of mention it on the podcast. Interesting that you say, Chris, that of course, if you were listening to the podcast last week, that happened. The Queen had died when our episode went out. That wouldn't have been the case if you were a Patreon subscriber, because our episode went up immediately and goes up immediately we record it on Patreon. You get it at least 24 hours before you get it anywhere else. And a big thank you to our supporters on Patreon.
Indeed, thank you so much to Jem, Theo, Richard and Emma. Thank you very much to Peter GD, who is back as well, supporting us with another higher tier contribution. So appreciate that. Thank you very much, Peter. We appreciate you're back again this month. And it's there's two tiers we have. But you will get, as Martin says, the episode 24 hours at least in advance. Sometimes it's several days because you'll begin to notice as a patron that we don't have a set recording schedule because we are very busy, both of us. So sometimes it'll be several days in advance. And that's just our little way of, you know, trying to give you something back for you supporting us. So thank you very much. It is patreon.com/nulpois if you want to help us out with that.
Let's get into it then and talk about some of the stuff that's been happening in the world of Eurovision. And if you are a follower, a close follower of the contest, you'll know that each country does its own thing in order to choose who's going to represent it. And some people go in for just kind of picking it by getting a company to do it or whatever. Others really go in all guns blazing. And Sweden, I think, has got to be the king of build up to who's going to represent them. They do this massive thing every year. You'll probably know about it if you're a fan. It's called Melody Festival, and it's basically like a little mini Eurovision, but just for Sweden. And already the wheels are turning to get that underway.
They are indeed, and once again, Melody Festival has surpassed itself. Do you want to guess, Marta? Do you want to have a vague guess at how many song submissions producers have got for this year's Melody Festival?
500.
A little bit more than that.
A little bit more than 1,000.
More than that.
More than a, come on, you're going to have to tell me. More than 1,000 entries.
2,824 song submissions they had for the show. When I said a little bit more, it was actually quite a lot more. That's also up from the 2022 edition, by the way, up 294 songs. This year, 2,824, which is a crazy amount. How are they going to do this, you might ask? Well, in the end result, for actual Melody Festivalen, 28 acts compete, and there's 6 weeks, and they compete across these 6 weeks, and they're not going to be revealed until autumn. So producers have basically got to go through these 2,824 songs and whittle it down to 28.
I don't even know how you'd start to do it. Crazy.
No wonder the BBC does an internal thing. I mean, what I would be interested in knowing is, in terms of other countries, how many song submissions do they get? I did have a little look. I was trying to find with the UK how many they get, but it was hard to find. If anyone has got those figures, I'd be really interested to know how many more song submissions is Sweden getting compared to other countries. I'd really be interested to know. I have to say, Martin, I kind of fancy going to Melody Festival next year. Would you be interested?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like great fun. Little jolly to Sweden. Yeah, I'll be involved in that without a doubt.
It
is
such
a massive event, isn't it? Really, really has huge, you know, it's everywhere. It is massive. And we should definitely get involved in that.
Even bigger this year. Well, yes, I mean, it'll be the same number of songs, but my goodness, those producers, how they do this, I don't know. But good luck to them.
To something else now, and a bit of, I suppose, controversy. We will talk a lot on this podcast, and if you haven't sort of noticed this already, you'll pick up on it. We talk a lot about an organisation called the OGAE.
Organisation Générale de Amateur de l'Eurovision.
We were talking about OGAE Ukraine and Russia, and there's an OGAE UK as well. And there's been a bit of, I suppose, controversy recently to do with a particular event that's organised by that group.
Yeah, so this is an event called the OGAE Song Contest. It's separate from the Eurovision Song Contest. It's basically an event where members of the OGAE, they compete with an original song released in their country. The song is got to be released in the previous year, and it's mostly sung in one of the country's national languages. And it's kind of a fun way, basically, for the members to get involved in their own sort of little thing. And I think it's also done as a way, you know, Eurovision is over, but here's a fun thing that we could do whilst we're waiting for the news to ramp up. I could give you, for example, by the way, the UK's entry was going to be Harry Styles. They're going to use that as an entry. But that is not the case anymore, because the UK, the OGAE UK, has withdrawn from this song contest. They're not the only ones to do that. And I'll kind of explain a little bit why. Basically, OGAE Ukraine, they issued a statement. We talked about this in the previous episode. They were talking about Russia's participation, saying it went against the values of Eurovision. And when I say Russia, I mean the fan club for Russia. OGAE International, they held a vote. The international fan clubs decided to allow the Russian club to remain. Some fans were saying, well, it's the Russian government, not its Eurovision fans, who are waging war. But the issue was, is that OGAE Ukraine, they've pointed this out repeatedly. They said, well, one of the Russian artists behind the entry, DNK, that the fans were offering up, the Russian fans were offering up, has performed at pro-war rallies. They also said they showed these screen grabs that the Russian fan club had endorsed Russia's war. I think that was at the beginning of the war in February. So, in light of that, OGAE Ukraine withdrew from the competition. Germany followed, I think it was a couple of days after that. And now the UK has as well. As part of this vote, I think the UK President Vaughan, who we've had on the show many times, he voted for Russia to be removed from the song contest. But when that vote went and it said, actually, we're not going to remove Russia, he then put it to a vote for the members. And I've got the statistics here, actually. About 72% of the members who did vote voted for the UK to withdraw, 22% voted to remain, 5% abstained. So a fairly big number of the members who did vote, obviously not everyone would have voted, decided, yes, the UK should be taken out of this song contest. We don't really support the fact that Russia's in there. And so there you go. Like you said, it's had some people from different sides, you know, with different arguments. A tricky one, I think, for all members involved.
Yeah. So OGAE as a big organisation decides, yeah, it's going to keep Russia in this competition that it runs. The UK...
Well, they voted, The presidents of each of the member clubs voted, yes.
Yeah, and that was the overall decision.
Yeah, keep Russia in, yeah.
The others and the UK lot said, not happy about this, we're out.
Yes.
And I've got a statement here from Vaughan Staples, who's the president of the OGAE UK, and just gives a bit of context, really.
And this was, I'll just explain, this statement was when the news had come that Russia was going to stay. So it's before the vote that the members had. But this is just his view on it a little bit.
He says, I personally am saddened by the result on this decision. I voted yes for removing OGAE Russia from the contest, as I believe the inclusion of OGAE Russia with an entry where one of the SIGAs has alleged support for the current war against Ukraine and OGAE Ukraine facing no option but to withdraw and had the potential to bring the contest and the OGAE organization into disrepute and was morally and consciously the wrong decision. So that's a little bit of what Vaughan is thinking there. He just doesn't feel that he can, or his organization, the organization he represents with its members, can really be part of this where Russia and its delegation, who seem to have links or supports towards the war, are also a part, and he doesn't think he can be a part of that. Your thoughts on this, very much welcome. How you can get in touch, coming at the very end of the podcast.
And I think it's worth saying, I think it's right that the vote was put to the members and it wasn't just left there, because it's clearly something that a lot of members are going to feel quite strongly about. This, we would like to hear your thoughts about this as well. Is it right that Russia stays in? Because as some people are saying, it's the government, it's the state, it's not the fans, or because of the support that they potentially have shown by including a song with an artist that's got some pro-war roots, does that mean they shouldn't really be part of it? Really interesting topic. I don't know, there's one right opinion in this. It's all very interesting. And we'd love to hear from you. We'll give you the details, as Martin said, a little bit later on to have your say about all this.
Now, as we've been saying, Cress and I have both been on holiday and we both have stories to share from that. Cress has quite a fun story about a sea urchin.
Is it fun, Martin?
I think it could be. I've got really quite a scary story.
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, no, honestly, it really is. Okay. So we hired a car to drive from Vienna to Salzburg, and we were going through the mountains, and it was the first night that we were there. We were really, really tired. I was just trying to get us there. It was raining, the weather was horrible, and we were just trying to get to our accommodation, which was kind of in the middle of nowhere. Not a car on the road, driving up all these sort of windy lanes. And we got to a bit where there was some temporary traffic lights for work that they were doing on the road. And they took you around a kind of chicane. So I stopped at the lights, went round this chicane, back out onto the road. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I round a corner and there's this car coming towards me on the same side of the road as me. I slam my brakes on and, luckily nobody was hurt. Everybody was okay. But, it really shook me up. And I suddenly realized I've been driving on the wrong side of the road. And I must have been doing it for at least 5 or 10 minutes.
Honestly.
And because my initial thought was, because you just don't know. It's so scary because do not realize. Your brain just goes into autopilot.
What did the car just swerve out of the way?
We stopped with a large, I was going very slowly, luckily, as was the other driver. We all stopped with plenty of room. Everyone was okay. But, you just think, oh my, it could have been so much worse. I felt awful and I was shaking. I was so shook up by it because you don't realize you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's so, so dangerous. Really. And Rachel didn't realize either. We're both there. Neither of us realized.
You go into autopilot a little bit, don't you? When you're like,
But there we go. That's a warning to anybody, to learn from my mistake there. Really just keep reminding yourself to drive on the right side of the road if you're a Brit and you're driving abroad, because it can happen when you least expect it. And you might not be as fortunate as me when I managed to get out of it and everybody was okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Scary stuff. Anyway, Cress's hopefully more upbeat story about a sea urchin coming in just a moment. But first, stop what you're doing for this.
Flap. Well, floppity, floppity, flop. Well, floppity, floppity, flop. Well, floppity, floppity, flop that Eurobop.
Yes, it's that time again. It's Flop the Eurobop. And, I will say this. We'll get into our correspondence, but a lot of people got Boom Bang a Bang last time that Martin did. And I am a bit annoyed I didn't get it. But I have to say, it is different hearing it through Zoom than when you hear it on the podcast. It does sound a little bit different. So I'm going to use that as my excuse. But well done, everyone who did get it. We will go into some correspondence in a moment. First of all, thank you so much to Luke again. And by the way, some of our patrons have said they are going to be sending. So we're kind of holding this on you guys. If you said you're going to send us one, you've got to send us one. Don't leave it stewing. Send it across to us. But I appreciate Luke, who has sent us another Flop the Eurobop. I appreciate it very much, Luke. Shall we both have a listen to this? They do say as well, it's not an asthmatic Donald Duck, which we tried last time. Luke thankfully sent us one, and it was a bit of a Donald Duck take, but this, I've been promised, it doesn't sound like Donald Duck, so let's have a listen to this.
Right, so this is a Eurovision song.
Yes.
Sung in a terrible way. Mm-hmm. That's the feature.
What's that? The last bit, you know, does sound like something I recognise. I'm really not sure about the beginning, but the do do do. And let me listen to it. I actually might have this.
Okay, right. This is the point, by the way, where if you know it, pause the podcast and send us a message. Send us an email, or if you're on Patreon, write on the Patreon. Get in touch with us and tell us what you think it is right now on the first listening to this. Well done, for example, to Julie from last time, who got the last one right on the first listen. So well done, Julie, and lots of other people doing that as well. Lots of Patreoners doing it. We'll mention you all in just a little bit. Well done. But now is the time to send that message if you know. Here it comes again, then. Can you guess Luke's Flop That Eurobop?
Now, I'm not so sure. I don't know, actually. But there's something about the ending which sounds a bit... Now, should I say what I think it is?
Yeah, I think you can say what it is, yeah.
It sounds a little bit, but I'm not quite sure with the beginning. But something like that... Verka.
Oh.
What's it called? Because it's the end bit. Eins, zwei, drei.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
What's it called? Dancing. Lash your tongue by.
Yeah. That's it. That could be.
But I'm not sure about the beginning, because the beginning doesn't sound quite like it, but it could be he's taken it from a different part of the... The point is, it is also supposed to be sung badly, so it won't sound like it.
Okay. Here it is just one more time.
Yes.
Yeah, if you think you know the answer, do let us know. Shall we find out what it is now? Should we do it?
Yeah, I'm excited. If it is that, I'm very excited.
Okay.
But it's probably not. Probably not that at all.
We've got an email with the answer, and I'm going to...
Thank you for doing this.
And I'm going to open it right now. The answer is... Dancing Lasher 2 Prize!
Yes!
I'm really impressed with that, Cress. That is really very, very good.
It was just the end. It was just the end where it was like, duh, duh, duh. It was like, it reminded me a bit of it. But well done, Luke, as well. Thank you again for sending us that. We really appreciate when other people do it, so we don't have to sound silly on the podcast, but thank you. So thank you very much. We do appreciate that. We'll give you a bit of notice how you can send in your Flop the Eurobop, because we want to hear different people. We don't want to just hear us all the time. We'll give you a little bit of notice on that in just a moment's time.
Yeah, and listen next week for another edition of
Flop That Eurobop.
Right, so now apparently a really funny story about how I injured myself, because Martin thinks that's really funny when I hurt myself.
Look, it's funnier than my story. My story was terrifying.
But you don't know. You don't know. You've decided it's funny because it's an absurd way to injure yourself.
So, well, you were in Croatia.
Yeah, I was in Croatia. We had a great time, actually. I have to say, there was a point that was also fairly dangerous for us. We were on river rapids, basically. We went rafting on river rapids. And the guy didn't really give us safety advice, you know, what happens if we fall out, until about 20 minutes past several rapids. And he was like, oh yeah, if you fall out, this, you should do this. It was like, oh, okay. There was a bit, we did some caving where it was very small caves and, you know, there was barely any light. It was basically like a cliff scramble. And then we did canyoning where we went through the rapids just ourselves wearing life vests.
Wow.
It was a lot going on. That wasn't the time I injured myself though. The time I injured myself is we went on a boat trip to several of the islands and I was just swimming in the sea. It was by one of the islands and I thought, I'm going to go to the side, just put, you know, rest on one of these rocks for a moment. I put my foot on this rock and immediately I feel intense pain. I'm like, ow. I thought it was a really rocky rock, a really craggy rock that had loads of points on it. And I was like, oh my God, ow. I was swimming away and, you know, I suddenly was like, why is it still hurting so much? I look at my foot, I've got all these black spikes sticking out my foot. And I had stepped somehow on a sea urchin that was on the side of the rock and it just had embedded all its black spines in my foot.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So what? So you have to, how did you get them out?
So I got most of them. I'm sorry, by the way, if this is, people don't want to be, if someone's eating or anything, sorry. Basically, I got most of it out my foot. I've still got some in my toe because they've just broken off. So there's just little small segments just in my toe.
Oh, that's horrible. So neither of us have had nice, fun stories at all then, have we? We both had really horrific things.
I have to say, by the way, that there was someone we met in Croatia, a friend of a friend who was with us. And I've been looking up and it said, oh, you have to put your foot in vinegar for ages. So I've basically just been putting my foot in vinegar. But they were saying, you have to urinate on it. And I was like, no, that's
jellyfish stings.
Yeah, but
it?
You don't do that with jellyfish stings either, actually. It makes it worse. Just to let people know. But yeah, so I've just been putting my foot in vinegar.
Like fish and chips.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, that's very good.
Sorry.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it's also not very good. It sounds horrible. No. And I'm glad you're okay. But yeah, it's quite funny.
It's just typical me, isn't it? Yeah, like that it kind of story. Yeah.
This is exactly the sort of thing that you would do. Right. We're almost at the end of the podcast. Just time for your correspondence. And as always, we like to feature the Patreoners first, the Null Pointers, as we like to know them. And if you want to join in on Patreon, you get all sorts of good stuff, including the episodes very, very early, at least 24 hours in advance. You'll have this episode days in advance.
Yeah,
you will. Because, you know, you're lucky things. But thank you so much for getting in touch. Richard has been talking about Flop That Eurobop that we did last time. Says, really, Laurie, you should have got that. You should have got Boom Bang A Bang. Walk in London as penance. This is a reference to your what you're going to do as a forfeit.
Yeah.
Walking naked through the streets of London. That's been and gone now, Richard.
It's been and gone, Richard. We're not doing that. All right, I know, I should have got it. Theo also says that Flop was an easy one. I got it before Martin finished it the first time. But Theo does say he agrees with me, saying giving away the year was giving away too much because Martin gave away the year.
I did. I'm sorry. Look, I know we've all made mistakes.
Yes,
here.
We have. And again, well done, Julie, who got in touch by email, which you can do if you got the Flop the Eurobop. nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com is our email. Like Julie, who got Boom Bang A Bang straight away, way before me. Well done, Julie. And, you know, we would like to hear if you got this one like I did, or your thoughts on, of course, UK withdrawing from the OGA song contest and where you stand with that as well. Thank you very much to a couple of people. I have to apologize. I wasn't looking at our message requests on Instagram too frequently, and I didn't realize that a couple of people had messaged us. So thank you very much to, and I think it's pronounced Kian from Ireland, who says, just want to say that, in my opinion, Null Poir is the best Eurovision fan podcast. The reason being that both of you seem very passionate about the podcast and, of course, the contest. Listening to the podcast is always one of the best parts of my week. Keep up the good work. So thank you very much, Kian, for that. I'm glad
Kian,
I did.
That is so kind.
Message.
Isn't that absolutely lovely?
Very kind.
Thank you so much. Genuinely, that means loads. It really does.
Equally to Susie, who messaged when I was in Germany for Gamescom, saying they got very excited because they're obsessed with Eurovision, but also board games, because I had said, oh, is anyone into gaming and Eurovision? And Susie says, yes, they are. They're actually going to something called Dragon Con in Atlanta, which sounded very interesting. I think they will have been to it now already. And I think they were wondering if I was potentially going to go to. Well, Gamescom is more of a video gaming event than board game event. But I did love that they sent us a photo from Dragon Con. And wouldn't you know, she has a picture from Dragon Con, and some people dressed up as members of Subwoofer. You know, the yellow, the Norway entry.
Give the wolf a banana.
Yeah, give the wolf a banana. Yeah. So it was kind of like a cosplay event. So there you go. Thank you very much, Susie, for sending that picture. That looks amazing. Glad you got to see that. And yes, there you go. We've got another gamer who's also into Eurovision. Thank you so much. If you want to send us your pictures or tell us your views on anything on Instagram, we are Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram.
It will be lovely, lovely to hear from you. That is it for this edition. We'll see you again very, very soon on the next edition of Nullpoir.
I pierced my foot on a spine.